All right, so we're going to continue on our study about the tongue. Last week we started off with the teaching of controlling the tongue. James started off by teaching a very strong warning to those who have been called to being a teacher of the word. He was warning those that, hey, if you want this position of a teacher, if you're seeking out this position, you might want to think twice about the position before you just enter into it. Because those who have been called to teach God's word will be held at a much more strict judgment than those who are just listening of the word, those who are just students of the word. The level of accountability changes when you take on the position of a teacher. It comes when you hold this position and you're held to a higher standard than everyone else is. There's an additional accountability to your character, to the way you live, to the words you speak. And because of the platform that teachers have, you have more opportunity to sin with your mouth than others. One word can either feed the flock you're responsible for or cause them to stumble and to go a different direction. The weight of the responsibility should be taken so seriously. And then James kind of transitioned from warning the teachers, a very strong warning, he transitions into controlling the tongue. And he used two examples, the bit and the rudder, something that is so small yet has the ability to control something so large, the horse or the ship. He says that his point was, even though your tongue is so small, if you can control it, you can control your whole body. You are a mature man. Controlling the tongue is something we all stumble with. It's not just teachers. It's something we all struggle with. We're just not held at the same accountability. None of us have our tongues under control. And if you think you do, you probably don't. It's something that we all struggle with across the board. Maybe just some more so than others. But the more we mature in Christ, which again, this is our goal for the book of James, is to mature. The more we mature, the more control of our tongues we will have. And I mentioned last week, it's just something that has really stuck with me this week, is that our words, our actions, and our decisions carry inevitable eternal result. That one day we will all stand before the Lord and have to account for every careless word that has come out of our mouths. And I just want to make something clear, because I had a lot of questions, and I apologize I didn't make it very clear last week. But the scripture that I brought up about in Matthew 12, for every careless word will be judged. That's not the words that you've already repented for. The words that you have brought to the Lord, that you've brought to the cross, that you've asked for forgiveness, those are gone. The word says that when you repent of your sin, they're done. So it's the careless words that come out of our mouths, the words we don't realize that have come out of our mouths that have hurt somebody, the words that we forget that we said, or it's those words that we will be held accountable for the law. But some of those examples of how we stumble in our words, just a reminder, it's boasting, exaggeration, criticism, gossip, slander, being two-faced, anger, cursing, taking the Lord's name in vain, lying, inappropriate jokes, flattery, or insincere words to gain favor. There's many, many more, but those were just the ones that came to my mind when I was preparing for you. And the reality is that whatever comes out of our mouth is a response of what's in our hearts. We talked about that last week, that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if we want to be able to control what comes out of our mouths, then we have got to clean up what's in our hearts. So keeping all that in mind, because we're going to transition but still stay with the tongue, instead of talking about controlling the tongue, we're going to move on to the destruction of the tongue. To me, this part is a little more painful. So today, there's two points we're going to talk about. The words that come out of our mouths and the words that come out from other people's mouths to us. So keeping that in mind, let's read our text. We're going to be in James 3. And we're only doing two verses today. And that's verses 5 and 6. If I can get to my Bible here. Okay. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. So, James has been teaching us to control the tongue, but now he's going to tell us why it's so important to control the tongue. Because although the tongue is so small, it causes so much destruction. He says that the tongue makes great boasts. What does that mean, great boasts? Well, if you take those two words and you translate them from the Greek, the word great, it means large, big, high, loud, strong, great, in the widest sense. And that word boasts, when translated, it means arrogant, to talk big, to be egotistic. You put those two to words, what he's saying is that although the small muscle in our mouth is small, it has the ability to talk much bigger than what we are or the situation is. It has the ability to puff up what's coming out of our mouth. So in the former two examples from last week, the horse and the ship, they're controlled by small objects. But in this example, he's explaining how huge a fire can destroy a forest by a tiny little spark. The tongue can either be controlled like the horse in the ship, or it can destroy like a fire. And I just did some research about forest fires, and I just want to share some of it because it's interesting. It explains why James would use this as an example. So most natural forest fires start from lightning. Lightning strikes our planet an estimated 100 times every second. And during drought conditions, forests become increasingly higher for the risk of fire during these lightning strikes. Forest fires travel about 9 to 12 miles per hour. That doesn't seem like a lot of damage, but to give you a visual or a thought, it's 204 football fields long in 1 hour. That's a lot of damage in 1 hour. The destruction of a fire is pretty quick and it's brutal. So we can see why James is comparing the tongue to a fire, because the one word we speak carries so much disaster for a long period of time. So our first point, the words that come out of our mouths. The Bible actually has a lot to say about this. James isn't the only one who tries to drill this point home. In Proverbs alone, there are over 20 verses about our words. And I'm just going to read some of them to you. So just write the references down if you're taking notes. You guys can meditate on them later. Because if you really pick these verses apart, it'll open your eyes, actually. So here we go. I'm going to read some of them to you. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. The words of the godly are like sterling silver. The heart of a fool is worthless. The words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by their lack of common sense. That's Proverbs 10, 19 through 21. The mouth of the godly person gives wise advice, but the tongue that deceives will be cut off. The lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. Proverbs 10, 31 and 32. With their words, the godless destroy their friends, but knowledge will rescue the righteous. Proverbs 11, 9. The wicked are trapped by their own words, but the godly escape such trouble. Wise words bring many benefits, and hard work brings rewards. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. That was Proverbs 12, 13 and 14, 18 and 19, and 22. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Proverbs 13, 3. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words makes tempers flare. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of a fool belches out foolishness. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. That was Proverbs 15, 1 through 2, 4, and 28. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Proverbs 16, 24. Wise words are like deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise like a bubbling brook. Fool's words get them into constant quarrels. They are asking for a beating. The mouth of the fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. But wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Proverbs 18, 4, 6 through 8, and 20 through 21. Wise words are more valuable than much gold and many rubies. Proverbs 20, 15. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Proverbs 21, 23. Telling lies about others is harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. Proverbs 25, 18. There is more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. Proverbs 29, 20. And lastly, when she speaks, her words are wise. She gives instructions with kindness. That's Proverbs 31, 26. Are you convicted yet? I know I was. And the reason why I gave you all the scriptures, and that's just Proverbs, that's not even the rest of the Bible. There is plenty more. But the reason why I gave you those scriptures, read those out loud, is because I believe that the Word of God can do more work in us than what I could ever say. So speaking the Word of God to you, God can do what He wants. So what we say to others and what others say to us can last us a lifetime for either good or evil. A sarcastic or critical word out of anger, disappointment, jealousy, insecurity, whatever, can destroy a relationship that took years to build. Or a thought-out word of encouragement or a compliment can inspire someone for the rest of their life. Our words speak life or death. It really is that serious. There's no joke here. This isn't a just maybe. It really is that serious. God is so serious about the words that come out of our mouth. Hurtful words are damaging because they cause so much destruction so quickly, and you can't stop the result once it's gone. You cannot take back your words. Once it's said, that's it. And if we're going to be mature, again, this is the goal, then we can't just say whatever we want and hope to just ask for forgiveness later. It doesn't work like that. Our words go way past forgiveness and they leave scars. Our words are like fire. You can't control or reverse the damage that they do. And I want to read to you a scripture. It's Ephesians 4:29. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Do the words we speak benefit others? Do they build people up? Are they helpful? This word unwholesome, from that scripture, when you translate it from the Greek, it means rotten, useless, corrupt. To give you an example of this, I love Pinterest. I was on Pinterest a while ago, and I pinned something for my children to help them with their words. I printed it off for you. It's very elementary school, but you know, sometimes it's great to see something visual. And so you've probably seen it for you moms of young ones. And it's a before you speak, think. It says, T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? And N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? And if any of these words don't match this, probably shouldn't be said. So this is what Ephesians is talking about. Is it helpful? Will it benefit somebody? Will it build somebody up? If not, then don't speak it. To be mature, we have to think before we speak. And this is why, because this is what happens with our words. Bragging causes pride. Lying breaks trust. Gossip ruins friendships. Manipulative words, control. Complaining causes ungratefulness. Putting others down causes rejection. Cursing ruins a conversation. False teaching can lead others astray. Slander ruins a reputation. Criticism causes hardened hearts. You could go on and on and on, but do you see why James is so serious about our tongues? Because the tongues can be used for good or evil, but it's something that we get to choose. It's something that we can change through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, point number two, the words spoken over us. You know that saying, I'm sure you all do, sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You remember that from when you were kids? Okay, that's a lie. It's a lie because bones can heal in 6 to 8 weeks. But words cannot heal that quickly. Time doesn't heal wounds from our words. And just like the words that we can speak, whether they're life or death to somebody, so can the words that are spoken to us do the same. And I'm sure we've all had something hurtful said to us at one point or another. And those words that people say over us can label us for a lifetime. And I just want to give you some examples in my own life of words that have been spoken over me and the destruction of those words. Years back, someone in authority over me spoke into the two areas that I knew that God was calling me to. That was teaching the word and worship. And in two separate conversations, I was told that because I'm an unseasoned speaker, I would not be able to participate in something that was going on. Another time, same person, that when I was on the stage leading worship, that my worship wasn't expressive enough, that I needed to be bigger and louder and more whatever. So what happened with those two conversations is I started to doubt, well, if she doesn't, and this is authority, if they don't think that I am good enough or seasoned enough, well, maybe I heard God wrong then. Maybe God didn't say that I was supposed to do this. It started to create doubt in my mind of what God was calling me to do. Same thing with worship. Well, if my worship isn't good enough, then how can I lead a whole church into worship? What those words did to me is they shut down the two areas that God specifically called me to. And I knew that, but because of someone's words, it shut down and caused me to doubt. It's what happens when someone speaks over you. I've had friendships where something that was said to me or about me hurt me so deeply that those friendships, unfortunately, will never be the same. I've had someone that I respected dearly, spent decades of my life with, slander my character, try to ruin my reputation, told lies about me. My son, my youngest son, Josiah, when he was 4 or 5, some of you know this story, he was diagnosed with severe anxiety disorder, OCD, slight Tourette's, and severe anxiety disorder at the age of 5. And those words, I won't be able to forget what he was labeled with, because it's something that I know God has the last word in his life, but whenever we have a struggle, I immediately go to, maybe they were right. maybe he is this. And he was told that he would never be able to function without medication, weekly therapy, and neuro treatments. It's something that if I allowed this 5-year-old child to grow up, and he would have that for the rest of his life. So a label from a doctor speaking over my son could literally debilitate him for his whole life.
Yeah.
But God has the last word. And I say this because people's words can shut our dreams down. They can cause you to doubt what you really heard from God. They can cause you to not walk in what he's calling you to do. They can change your relationships. They can break your trust, ruin a marriage. They cause great pain. Hurtful words spoken to you can cause the person that God has created you to be to shrink back and be ineffective. If you've been told you'll never be good enough, you aren't called to that. That dream is silly. You can't do that. That's impossible. That's not in you. Fill in the blank for your own life. Can I encourage you to ask God what he has to say about that? Because I guarantee you it's completely opposite than what is being said over you. You know, a lot of times when we counsel women, one thing that is brought up a lot is things that have been said over them. We spend hours praying through one like sentence, and they have carried it their entire life. It has formed who they are. It has formed their character, their personality. It has formed them. They have not been able to be who God has created them to be because of this one sentence that was spoken over them. It really is a big deal. When we give people the room to speak into our lives more than what God has to say, there's a problem. You give that person way too much power over you, and you give the enemy that power in your life. God has the last word in your life, not people. Jesus will always speak life into you. Even if it's in correction, it's always to restore you back to him. So I ask you, what words have been spoken over you that you've given those words too much power in your life? What words have caused death in your life? Today, no more. Today, we're going to break the chains of these words that have been spoken over you in Jesus' name. Today, we proclaim that only Jesus has a say in your life. Today, I give you permission. I know Bonnie gives you permission to get out from under those words that have been spoken over you and be who God has called you to be in Jesus' name. And when I was preparing this, a passage, I'm sure you've all heard it before, came to my mind. So I'm going to speak life over you through the word of God. And it's found in Ezekiel 37. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to make you flesh, to make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds and breathe into the slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to him, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. And when I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. So let these words from God breathe life into the areas that have death has been spoken to you or over you. Dry bones, get up. And breathe again, because the sovereign Lord has spoken and he has the last word in your life. So we're going to